Always good to be here. Always good to be here. I hear everybody got a little dry cough going on. I do too. So I apologize in advance. I know who you're looking for, and it's not me. You're looking for Tina to see, and you're disappointed she's not here. But she had to. She's teaching at the church in Carson Street. She's doing well, and you know she loves you, and you have always shown her love here, and she really is very appreciative of the love that you've given to her over the years. In the scripture reading this morning, then he said to me, "Son of man, eat this scroll I'm giving you and fill your stomach with it." So I ate it, and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. And because we're believers, we know what he's talking about. When the Word of God was presented to us and we tasted his goodness and we repented and we accepted his grace and we're forgiven of that bondage of sin and we're freed. And that's something special that we see in new believers. You know, we think about people that have just come to Christ, that are babies, and they look up to people that have been in the church, and maybe they think, well, I don't know the Bible as well as they do, but what a blessing they are to watch somebody come to Christ and see the joy in them, to taste how sweet Jesus is, and what that does to us. How encouraging is that to us? Baptizing Rose Wednesday, and to see the joy in her, I can't explain. But watching people that find the truth, you know, they find the treasure in the field, they find the pearl. You know, the Ethiopian eunuch, hey, there's water right here. Why can't I be baptized right here? What kind of joy was he feeling that wanted him to get down in that water, huh? Which kind of just reminds us, and sometimes we forget, of what God has given to us. We looked at just the awesome gifts that God has given us in the little Bible study, just to remember all that he does for us. He's our everything. Without him, we're nothing. But just to remember that he's given us his word. And not only that, but he's sent someone into our lives to show us the word, to bring us to Christ, to be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit. So that when we read scripture, we're not reading alone. He's in us. We can't see it without the Spirit of God in us. We cannot receive the true message and appreciate scripture without the counselor, the Holy Spirit, reading with us and bringing it to our... Because to the world, the Bible is foolishness. To the world, the cross is foolishness. But to us, it's everything. And as we share the Word of God with others, we try to remember that. And we pray and we do what God says, share the scriptures with them, share Jesus with them. And as Amy said this morning, we let God do the rest. So anyways, what do we appreciate? What has God given to us? I've got a scripture I'd like to read. Not too many, not as much as in Bible class, but scripture's good. It's sweet, sweeter than honey. So I will read Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through 27. "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake." This is Paul speaking. "And in my flesh I'm filling up with what is lacking in Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you." Listen to this. "To make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages, hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope and the glory. And again in Ephesians 1 through 9, made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ Jesus. And one more. And to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, for which ages past have kept hidden in God, who created all things. Are we living in the greatest time? I mean, don't look at the world, but throughout history, they long to see Jesus. And although we were not here when Jesus walked this earth, we have him. We have him living inside of us. Not only that, but as speaking of the Word, we have the full revelation. We have it all. We have more than the apostles had, than the disciples had before the day of Pentecost. We have the whole story. We have it all. We can read most. Most of us can read. In this day and age, we've got our iPhones. If you need to find something, I still use the concordance in the back of the Bible. But my goodness, I can find the scripture that I need. And you've got sermons on YouTube, and scripture is everywhere now, is what I'm getting at. We are blessed beyond measure with the ability and access to God's Word. And do we study it enough? Can we ever study it enough? Is it always sweet as honey? I mean, some scripture is hard. But we want the truth. We're all truth seekers here in Christ. We all want the truth. Psalm 119, I don't know if you read it, longest chapter in the Bible. Praising God for his scripture. I'm going to read the first 10 verses. This is Psalm 119. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and, listen to this, and seek him with all their heart. They do no wrong, but follow his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. And here the psalmist is praising not the law, but he's praising the Lord for the law. He's praising the Lord for his word. I heard something recently. What do you think? This might be kind of controversial, but can you make the Bible an idol? Can you make the Bible an idol? Man can take anything and turn it to evil. So we have God's perfect word. We've accepted God's perfect word. And how we handle the word is important. How we divide the word of the Lord. In John chapter 5, 39 through 40, it says, Jesus said, "You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. They had the scriptures. They studied them as if they were the truth. But they did not come to Christ. They thought that keeping the law was going to save them. And I think some people think that too. Some people in the Lord have it wrong. They found the scriptures. They found religion, but they have not found Christ. Scriptures lead us to Christ. You know, knowledge of Christ without the relationship with Christ, what is it good for? What is it good for? Have you ever met someone that knew the Bible? Have you ever met someone, talked to someone that knew Scripture but didn't know Christ? And I'm not talking about some kind of crazy judgment. I'm talking about they didn't have that relationship. Their life did not reflect their knowledge. Their heart did not reflect that they had been with Jesus or weren't with Jesus. And I'm not trying to be judgmental, but if you look at preachers on TV, my point is Scripture can be used in the wrong way and not glorifying God. Satan used it in the temptation of Christ, didn't he? Satan knows Scripture. You can know Scripture. You can have the knowledge. Peter wrote about Paul in his letters. He said, his letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort. But not only Paul's scriptures, as they do other scriptures, to their own destruction. We've got to watch ourselves, don't we? I know you love the Lord, but let's be honest. Do we bend Scripture? Have you bent Scripture? Or not are you bending Scripture? You need to come forward after this. Well, if you have, maybe that's not funny, but do we? We search the Scriptures. We have our beliefs that we've been brought up in all our lives. You know, we're not supposed to add, we're not supposed to take away, and we're not supposed to add. But if we ever said something that God didn't say, I'm just saying examine, you know, distorting to fit our lifestyle or our beliefs. You know, defending our beliefs and what church is supposed to be. I'm just saying. Things that aren't there. We do have to watch for ourselves. You know, recently I had a preacher listen to. He was bringing up a subject. I'm not going to bring it up, but saying that it was wrong because it was unauthorized. And I'm looking at it. And I'm saying that's kind of strange. It doesn't speak against it. And maybe I should get an example, but I'm not. But speaking where the Bible does not speak. Because if we talk about things that aren't authorized, we do a lot of things that are not authorized in the Bible. We have freedom in Christ. Yes, He tells us what He wants us to do and how He wants us to do it. But not on everything. There are things that we have freedom to choose. And what we choose might not be what a church down the street chooses. Go to another country. We would be very surprised at a church in Central America, and they're our brothers, but they just do it differently. But yet people make judgments about that, you know. They make divisions about that. Making divisions where there shouldn't be divisions based on Scripture that doesn't say anything about it. Not trying to be legalistic or not trying to be real liberal and not what does the Bible say? And if it doesn't say it, giving our brothers and sisters freedom in that. And not twisting the scriptures to try to get your point across or to get your beliefs across just because that's how you've been brought up. It's just an example of how the scriptures can be tweaked, and because some things are not definitively there, and I want them there. I know what I believe, and I want to prove it to them. I want to. That's wrong. That's not the right heart, is it? Yeah, I want to show them I'm right. I've been there. I'll be honest. I think I've matured, but I still have to watch myself. And when it's not there, it's not there. Hey, brother, you're my brother. That's not the only problem we have, though, with Scripture and dividing it. Have your beliefs changed? You think about when you first became a Christian. Have you changed any of your beliefs? If you go back 25 years, 30 years, and then you look at today, has God, through your studying of the word, His Word, revealed to you something that you had to change and that you made a change? I think this should be celebrated. You know, if you thought one way and you were wrong and God reveals that to you and you change your beliefs because God said so, that's big. Not everybody does that. Not everybody does that. But your love for the Lord allows you to do that. That's to be celebrated. Because our beliefs aren't perfect right now. What we have is we have a love for the Lord that is, we love Him. That can be perfect, our love for the Lord. But our beliefs are going to change. And that would scare some people. But if we want to know the truth and we're truth seekers and we study God's Word, when we come to something that goes against our beliefs, we need to change, don't we? Especially for Him. But maybe we have knowledge. Maybe you're studying the Scriptures. I know you're studying the Scriptures. But you're going down the list. You're studying your Scriptures. Your church attendance is perfect. You're praying before every meal. You're checking all the boxes and doing everything right. We got a story about that. We got Paul. We got Saul before he turned to Paul. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. Listen to what Paul says. Philippians chapter 3, verse 4 through 11. He says it well. If anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regards to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as legalistic righteousness, faultless. Now look, I know he's talking about the law. But how about the law of Christ? Can we have the same attitude with the law of Christ? Hey, I'm doing everything right. I'm going to church. I'm studying my Bible. I'm praying before my meals. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. That all means nothing, nothing to knowing the Lord. For whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them rubbish, that I might gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His suffering, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. I want to know Christ fellowship, sharing, relationship. Can you do all things right and not have a relationship with Christ? Yes. And not know Him. Don't you want everyone to know Christ? I mean to know Him. Not to know about Him. Not to know His law. But to know Him. That's what I want. I know you know Him. I know Him. Isn't that we know Him? Yes, I love His Word. But I praise Him. I worship Him. A new Christian who knows hardly any of the Bible can love the Lord. A first-year Christian can love the Lord. You don't need the knowledge. You need the gospel. You need the knowledge of the gospel to love the Lord and to have a relationship with Him. It's not about doing everything right. It's about knowing Him. Mark chapter 10, rich young ruler. Mark chapter 10, verse 17 through 22. This is a sad story. This is sad. Mark 10, 17 through 22. As Jesus started on His way, a man ran up to Him, fell to His knees before Him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go sell everything you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away very sad because he had great wealth. Now, you can look at this parable in many ways and the different aspects about it. Yes, he was a rich man, and it's hard for a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven. He didn't want to give up his wealth. But the worst part about it was Jesus said, come with me. Come, be with me. And he walked away from that. And you don't have to have great wealth. I don't think everyone that's rejected Jesus had great wealth. It could be anything here. But the fact that Jesus made an invitation to him. Come follow me. Be with me. And not only that, I mean, the invitation that he gives to us is him dying on the cross and saying, I love you. Come be with me forever. And people walk away from that. That's a sad, sad story. The greatest love that you will ever receive, and they walked away from it. Wow. But he did everything right. But he didn't want a relationship with Jesus. He didn't want a relationship with Jesus. You can do everything right. You can know the scriptures, but the scriptures aren't going to save you. Jesus Christ saves you. It's not the message, it's the messenger. The whole Bible is about Jesus coming to save us. From Genesis to Malachi is all about He is coming. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, He's here. And then Acts through Revelations, he's coming back. It's all about that. It's all about him. All these scriptures point to him. That's what he told them. Moses wrote about me, and you don't listen to me. If you listen to Moses, you'd know who I am. The scriptures are about me, and I'm right in front of you. It's not the scriptures. We need the message, don't get me wrong, but come follow me. He wants a relationship with all of us. That's what he wants. And if we follow him, I don't know where you are right now with Christ. If you follow Christ, you will grow closer to him. Is that a fact?
Amen.
Because if you walk with him, you're going to be like him. Because you can't walk with him and not be like him. If you are like him, what's going to happen? You are going to experience incredible things. You are going to see incredible things if you walk with him. If you are like Christ in your life, you're going to change lives around you. You're going to bring others to him. You're going to see the changes. You're going to see people taste the word, and it's going to look sweet. It's going to look like Jerry eating ice cream. It is going to be, they are going to have such joy. Such joy. And you're going to see that. You're going to see incredible things when you're walking with Jesus. Amazing experiences. The Bible is not just a list of rules. How many people have you talked to that think the Bible is just a bunch of rules? I've been sharing Jesus with some people, and that's basically the way that they look at the Bible. And it's not a bunch of rules. It's actually a love letter from God. A love letter from God to you individually. Not to get you to church, but to have a relationship with you. How awesome is that? That's what it is. It's his covenant promises. We talked about this morning. He's promised us. He's promised us what he's already delivered to us as far as we are his children. His spirit dwells within us. We are going to heaven. The victory is already won. And we will be in his rest, guaranteed. But he also, that's a good promise. Would you call it a bad promise when he says, you know, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you? Maybe that's not a bad one. It's just a promise. You know, it's his word. Well, really, his word is just one big promise. Whatever God says, it's going to happen. It's about instructions on how to be like Jesus, how to walk like them, who he is and who he isn't. We're following him, and he wants us to know who he is. He also wants to know who he isn't. Because that's who we're following. How to love like he does. How to love like a humble servant. I've said it before. I would like to get away from all my pride. I would love. How powerful is Jesus' humbleness? The fact that he rode in on a donkey. The fact that he washed feet. The fact that he loved Judas all the way to the end. Like, I really want to do that. And I fight my flesh to do that, but that's what I want. I want no fear. And just to be able to love, even if I don't get love back, I want that kind of faith, that kind of love in my heart. But it's the full revelation. The Bible is the full revelation pointing to Jesus. John 14:23 states, Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." You know, I want to keep his word. His word is perfect. Don't get me wrong. I want to keep his word, but you know what I want more than that? I want them to make their home with me I want God. I want the relationship. As a matter of fact, if I, you know, but no. I want Him. That's my focus. And that should be our focus. Not to doing everything. Not to doing everything perfect. That's not. We focus on Him. We're going to do things. We're going to do great things. Great things. We focus on the fruit of the Spirit. We focus on producing good fruit. There's no law against that. You know, you can grow as much good fruit as you want to. You're not worried about the law when you're loving Him. There is no law when you're loving Jesus, when you're walking with Him. That's what I want to focus on. The law is for lawbreakers. And I'll tell you, I'll be honest, I need the law. But I don't want the law. I just want to focus on Jesus and not have to worry about the law. But His Spirit convicts us, doesn't it? And we face the law. But as we talked about this morning, we ask for forgiveness, and He's faithful and merciful and patient. And He forgives us, and He makes us pure. Pure. Makes us pure. One of the saddest things is if someone knows the Bible and doesn't know Jesus. That is a sad, sad thing. Knowing the Bible and not knowing Him. Like the Pharisees did. It happened then. It's going on right now. There is no fear in love. You know where you stand. He's in you. We know where we stand. We talked about that this morning too. We know where we stand with Jesus. He reveals it to us because He wants our relationship secure. He's not a God of dysfunction. He's a God of order. He wants His relationships in order. He wants it right. And He wants to get rid of all the messes that we create. And to continue to have a real, authentic, loving relationship with us. With no dysfunction. No matter where we are, our brother Brian Baer, he gave a lesson about this. He compared the Bible to a compass. How about that? No matter where we are, if we wander off, if we're the lost sheep, the Bible always points to Jesus. No matter where we are, no matter how far we've gone. You want to find Jesus? Oh. We've got His Word. Guide us back to Him. The Word of God is perfect and true. And so is our God. It's His Word. I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know if you need some help. If you want to get baptized, like we just had a baptism Wednesday. If you need prayers. Or whatever you need, come forward as we sing, and you will be served.